I need to explain that my message will not be following closely the outline because I revised it slightly and rearranged it following feedback that I received after yesterday's message. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that you will guide us and lead us. And I pray that you will speak to us a personal word, whether it be a word of encouragement, a word of teaching, a word of admonition, a word of healing. Lord, I pray that you will do that work now in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Apostle Paul wrote, forgetting what is behind, I press on. And the language he uses there about pressing on is of a runner who is really straining flat out for the goal, for the tape. An athlete, a runner, knows not to look back in a race because this may hinder his running, especially in a sprint. But even in a longer race, not looking back and forgetting what is behind is still advice, is still good advice. One of the classic examples of this was the race between Dr. Roger Bannister of England and John Landy of Australia. As a medical student, Roger Bannister was the first person to run the mile in under 4 minutes. And then just shortly afterwards, John Landy also went under with a better time. And now the two were racing together. Apparently what happened, they were very close to each other, but John Landy just in front and Roger Bannister close behind. And apparently what happened was as they neared the line, John Landy turned around to the right just to look to see where Bannister was. But Bannister was on the left. And as he looked behind, he slowed down slightly and Bannister overtook him on the line. And I think that's a classic case of forgetting what is behind, because that remembering and thinking about what is behind and looking back may hinder our pressing forward. Now, the Apostle Paul was well aware of this principle. And he found it to be true of his Christian life and ministry. Paul knew that the Lord had taken hold of him for a particular purpose. And so Paul pressed on to fulfill this purpose. And he knew that if he did not forget what was behind, he would be hindered. He would be slowed down in his pressing forward. Now, what forgetting behind was Paul referring to? I think one of the possibilities was his previous persecution of the church and his opposing Jesus and Jesus' purposes. How that must have affected him. But if he dwelt on that, if he allowed himself to continue to be troubled by this, it would have hindered his moving forward in reaching the goal that the Lord Jesus intended for him. As it was, Paul could testify in 1 Timothy 1:13-14. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So Paul, by God's grace, was able to leave this behind, and thus he could press forward unhindered. Carrying baggage, as we know, from the past may negatively influence our present and our future. And so by God's grace, we should seek to leave such negative baggage behind us. We need to forget what is behind. But this does not mean that we are to forget everything that is behind, that is in the past. Some things we should continue to remember. Other things we should leave behind and forget. This is why I have in the outline, do not forget the past, forget the past. What are we not to forget? In Psalm 136, it recounts God's mighty works in creation and redemption. And after each recitation of each act of God, there is the repeated refrain, His love endures forever. And especially recounting God's mighty works in redeeming Israel. And after each act, His love endures forever. And as the Israelites recited or sang this psalm, probably antiphonally, you know, one side singing the verse and then the other side coming in with the refrain, His love endures forever. They would have recalled, they would have remembered the acts of God and had them affirmed to them afresh that indeed God's love endures forever. So we are not to forget, but to remember God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, God's faithfulness. And as we recall and remember, and Scripture tells us to not to forget the Lord's grace, this will help us to press on in our walk with the Lord. If I may illustrate from my own experience, Paul's past experiences that God has given me, past experiences of a truth like Romans 8, 28, have made this truth more and more real for me for the present and for the future. As Paul wrote, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I am not to forget these experiences which demonstrate the reality of Romans 8, 28. So I am to remember that the God whose grace always proved sufficient in the past in my life is the same God in the present and in the future. And to remember this is to be assured that his grace will continue to be sufficient and that it is in my weakness that God's power is made perfect. And as I remember how he proved this in the past, that encourages me and assures me for the present and the future. One of my present concerns, and it will be very familiar to people in their senior years, one of my present concerns is, how will I cope if the Lord allows me to go through debilitating suffering in the time that still remains for me? And then I recall my responses in the past when I received news that I had potentially terminal illness. Firstly, my heart condition that necessitated a triple bypass. In fact, after the surgery, when I was discharged, I went to see my GP and she looked at the report. She said to me, Mr. Ting, you were 2 minutes to midnight. Do you know that 90% of two of your arteries were blocked? Or when I received news of my prostate cancer and then news of my motor neuron disease. And as I remember those times and my response, it was really amazing. My response on each occasion was just peace and trust, a deep peace, not something that I had to work up. It was something that God gave. There was no questioning. Why me, Lord? I mean, haven't you called me to serve you? Why afflict me with these illnesses? No questioning, just peace. And that was clearly God's enabling. It was definitely not me. So when now and then the concerns come to me about how I will cope in the future, I need to remember and to recall how the Lord helped me in past critical moments and trust that He is the same God and He will do it again. The Lord Jesus promised His disciples, as we know, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And I need to trust that whatever the circumstances in the future, the Lord will enable this to be true as He has always made it true in the past. So we are not to forget God's grace, mercy, and faithfulness in the past. What else are we not to leave behind? What else are we to remember rather than to forget? Well, we should not forget unsettled matters. We should settle them before moving forward. We may have wronged someone. And in Matthew 5, 23 and 24, we read Jesus' words. "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." So if we have wronged someone, that's not something that we are to forget and simply move on and do nothing about it. We need to settle that matter. And if we settle that matter, that may be the key for healing for that other person and for that person to move on. We may have been wronged by someone and we found it so hard to relate to that person, to forgive that person. In Ephesians 4:32, Paul wrote, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." This time in our trip to Hong Kong and to Mongolia, we went by Cathay Pacific to Hong Kong and back from Hong Kong. And we are so thankful to the Lord. On both legs, we were upgraded to business class. And on the way back, I noticed as I read through the menu, the liqueurs, and they put a signature, Cathay Delight. It was some kind of kiwi with some liqueur. It was really, really very nice. So whenever I think of Cathay Pacific now, I'll think Cathay Delight. It's their signature. And we know that various restaurants and hotels, we remember them by their signature. And that caused me to think and ask, who is a signature Christian? What does a signature child of God look like? The Lord Jesus taught in Matthew 5, 44 to 45, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." That is the signature. That is the mark of a child of God. Someone who loves the enemy. Someone who prays for those who persecute. Someone who is able to forgive when they have been badly wronged. And then another area of settling matters. Not leaving unsettled debts behind and simply brushing them aside and moving on. I was really struck and impressed when I read of this person who went on to join OMF as a missionary in the mission field. And he had been called, sent the call by God, but what had happened is due to some unwise business decisions and so on, he became bankrupt so that legally he didn't have to repay his creditors. But what he did was he felt that spiritually and morally, before he could go out on the mission field, he had to settle those debts and pay back those people who had lent money or entrusted him with money. It took him 5 years to do so, but he was able to pay off every debt, and then he could move forward with peace and nothing hindering his pressing on into the mission field and in the mission field. So these are some of the areas that we are not to forget, but to deal with and to remember. Let me now turn to areas we should forget and leave behind. Earlier I said that we are to remember God's grace, love, mercy, and faithfulness. But we are not to cling to the past. We are not to yearn for replays, because often those periods were blessed times, and we sometimes yearn that they might be repeated in our lives. And thank God if they are repeated and we get another blessing of a similar kind. But we are not to cling and continually focus our attention on God giving us repeats or replays of that. Why? Because if we focus on that, we close ourselves to the possibility that God intends good things for us in the future. When I was approaching 40, I had these doubts, reservations, misgivings. Why? Because I knew that opportunities for youth work and student work would become less, and the Lord had given me such fulfillment and joy and satisfaction in that ministry, and I was thinking, I'm going to miss out on that increasingly. How wrong I was. As I concentrated and regretted that, I was not opening myself up to the possibilities that God had for me in the future. And as I approached 40, I don't think I could have ever imagined that one day I would be visiting my former college students, DTC students, in places like Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, Kazakhstan, Korea, Kunming, China. Visiting them to fellowship with them, to see their ministry, and to fellowship and walk alongside with them as their former teacher in their present ministry. What a joy and an encouragement that was. And then also to be invited to train and teach at their invitation in their place of ministry. As I was approaching 40, there is no way I could have ever imagined that Francis and I, that the Lord would lead Francis and I to make 10 trips to Mongolia and to be acknowledged by the Mongolian Church as one of the pioneer missionaries of the present-day post-Soviet era Mongolian Church. So don't over-focus on the past and the present, even though they may have been such blessed experiences. Because if we do so, we may close ourselves to the possibility that the Lord may have new and even more challenging and fulfilling ministries and experiences for us. And then another area that we are to leave behind, to forget, is the area of regrets and failures. Regrets over past failures, mistakes, omissions. The first time this impressed itself upon me was when we took an ex-addict, Jerry, into the Discipleship Training Center. My colleague, William Wan, tutored him for the O-levels, and that's why we invited him to come in. And then he helped us with odd jobs and errands. But Jerry spent so much time lamenting and regretting his wasted past, regretting why he had not continued his education. Because he had come to realize that without the O levels, the opportunities are very limited. But he kept on regretting and thinking about the what ifs. What if I had done this? What if I had not done that? In the end, he didn't study. He didn't even sit for the exam. It is true that our past mistakes and our failures have negatively affected our present circumstances and our future potential. Sometimes greatly so. But if we cannot do anything about making up for the past, then we cannot. And we must ask for grace to accept this and to press on. It is true that because of our past mistakes, our options may now be only 60 or 70% or less of what they might have been if we had not made those mistakes. But what we need to do now is to ask for grace to maximize this 60 or 70%. And if we waste our time and energy in regret, we will not even reach the 60%. My younger brother always did better than me in tennis tournaments. One reason for that is, and it's hard for an older brother to admit this, he was a better player. The other reason is that he had a great temperament. He always played one point at a time, no matter how his previous point went. He just left that behind and he concentrated fully on the present point. Me, I spent so much time regretting my past points, thinking, why did I do that? Why didn't I do this? I spent so much time on the past points, I did not do justice to each present point. Now, I realize, brothers and sisters, for some of you, some of the regrets are very big regrets because of the mistakes that you made. And it can be very difficult to leave those regrets behind. But if we let him, I believe the Lord will give us his enabling grace even in those circumstances. There may be areas in our lives that we want to leave behind, and we have tried. We've called out God to help us to be able to leave that baggage behind. We recognize the baggage. We recognize what it's doing to us. We just can't, because it's so deeply ingrained. And it may be that we need healing before we are able to let go and forget. Guilt may be one such area. We are burdened with guilt, and it's affecting us and our relationship with others and our ability to minister. And yet we call out to God, but the guilt is there. We don't experience the forgiveness and the cleansing and the freedom. One time I was a speaker in Sydney at a conference for Chinese churches from different parts of Australia. And a couple from Melbourne asked if they could speak with me. And they asked that we meet in a private place, not other place that others could see. I said, yes, of course. And then we came together and I just waited. So what's the area that you're struggling with? I just waited because they couldn't say anything. The wife, constantly broke down and wept. He would try and start to share and then he would break down. And in the end, the situation came out. 2 years earlier, she was reversing the car out of the garage, down the drive, and failed to see their two-year-old. And she backed into the two-year-old and killed her. I think we can imagine there would be very difficult for any of us to leave that kind of thing behind. And of the guilt, of the deep regret. I don't know what I said. I don't think I said very much. What can you say? I may have read a scripture here or there, but certainly I prayed for them. And then a few years later, while I was here in Singapore, I received a card. It was an invitation card, and I was surprised because it was from this family. And it was an invitation to his ordination to be a reverend in the church. Now, of course, I was encouraged by that, mainly because that told me they had experienced healing. Because only then could they have moved ahead to agree to become a full-time pastor. So it was that I really rejoiced. And God can heal even the deepest hurt, the deepest guilt that is there. There may be emotional and psychological wounds and scars in us as well. I think of my very deep, low self-esteem that I suffered from. And even though I was a Christian leader, it affected me. It made me oversensitive to praise or to criticism. And praise and criticism, I would just overreact. I was unstable. And when the Lord, over some years, healed me of this low self-esteem, what a difference this has meant to me in my relationships with others, with you, in my ministry. I'm no longer rocked by criticism or praise, though I can be affected, of course, still. And the Lord has brought such stability in this, and I've been able to leave behind that baggage of low self-esteem. And then leaving and forgetting what is behind, but not those things which can help us to move forward, we are then to press on in faith and in prayerful dependence. Eric Liddell was a Scotsman, later went to China as a missionary. Eric Liddell trained for the 100 metres at the 1924 Paris Olympics. But he ended up missing the 100 metres. Why? Because he would not run the heats because they were held on a Sunday. And being a very devout Scottish Christian, believed that Sundays were to be kept hallowed, and that meant not running competitively for him. So he didn't run in his favourite event, for which he was one of the favourites. But instead, he won the gold medal in the 400 metres, a race that he did not train for. And it was a surprise to many who saw Eric Liddell run that he ever won a race at all, let alone an Olympic gold medal. Why? This was because of his very awkward and ungainly running style. Certainly no classic running style. Let me quote the actor's own words. The actor was Ian Charlson. And Ian Charlson said this: Liddell's style was a problem. You know, I had to learn to run properly and then to learn Liddell's way. The hardest thing was that Eric ran with his head back. But when I did it, I could not see where I was going. I kept running off the track, bumping into other runners. Then one day on the fifth or sixth day of filming, I suddenly cottoned on to what he must have been doing when he ran. At drama school, we used to do what are called trust exercises, when you run as hard as you can towards a wall and trust that someone will come in and stop you. I suddenly realized Liddell must have run like that. He must have run with his head up and literally trusted God to get him there. I want to close off with comments from Sin E's last email that I received. I may have been in Mongolia, I think, when I received this. And she was reporting on the fruit that the ARPC team bore when they went to visit her and minister amongst the community. And Sin E wrote this. On the first day that we went caroling, the tea shops are either empty or the reception was cold. So we decided to stop and pray before trying again. We also messaged other team members to pray for us. The before-after contrast was simply amazing. In more than half the tea shops we visited, we sang Christmas carols and narrated the account of Jesus' birth and explained that this is good news because Jesus is the Savior of the world. One lady even used her phone to video Wang Jie as she told the Christmas story. You must know that they minister greatly amongst people who are prostitutes and so on. The phrase that struck me was, the coldness and lack of reception, and then the prayer, and then the warm reception they received, and fruit to their ministry. I think my immediate response, which I emailed to Sin E, was, wow, what an experience that must have been for the team. And yes, a vivid reminder for me. The reminder of the need for continued prayerful dependence on the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, let us move in to 2013 with faith and trust in the Lord and prayerful dependence upon Him. Amen.